and welcome to this edition of the Nebraska Prep Zone podcast. I'm Mike Sauter, joined by Stu Pospisil. We are sponsored by MD West One, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care, covering Greater Omaha for over 70 years. Stu, let's just jump right into it. Playoff football is here. Thursday night we have the 8-man games, and Friday night we have the 11-man games. I'm excited about it. I know you are too.
Hey, the snow has fallen already. We've got November on the calendar coming up on Friday. This is the time of year we live for, isn't it?
Right, very much so. So let's start in A. Your toughest games in Class A on Friday night.
Well, I think they're in the upper half of the bracket. Mm. I would say Elkhorn South and Kearney is an interesting matchup out at UNK.
Right.
Elkhorn South probably has played the more difficult schedule. Elkhorn South is going to have to try and slow down Miko Meisner, mm-hmm. the Princeton recruit. Eli Hustad for Elkhorn South is going to give Kearney some fits. Yeah. I think Kearney's going to need a good game from Murray at quarterback and finding Seth Stroh to protect the seed there and advance to the next round. And I think the other top game is one that we're going to be seeing on Friday night is Miller North going to Burke.
Right.
And it was 14-14 at the half.
Close game
just a couple weeks ago at Burke, and Burke ended up being the Mustangs 28-14. I can see it being closer still. Mm-hmm. In this one, a little colder night. Andrew Bednar has been running very well for Miller North. Jalen Russo certainly has stepped in admirably for James Burks last year, and you still got Xavier Watts. I think it comes down to how many times Burke can get Xavier Watts open against Miller North.
I that top half of that Class A bracket, you look, Millard West is number one. I think they're clearly the favorite. It'd be a pretty huge upset. Number one seed. I think it'd be a pretty big upset if Pius beat them. I think everyone would agree.
Same
with
Bellevue West and Lincoln East.
Right, and Bellevue West East. Bellevue West getting the four. We all know why. I don't want to go down that road again. It's because of their schedule and all that. There's no reason to rehash all that stuff. But it does set up, if all the seeds hold, on you have Bellevue West Burke, the two best players in the state by pretty much everyone's account. Both a receiver.
Now, the thing is that Betts doesn't play defense and Watts will, so you could have a Watts-Betts matchup several times.
Right, that'd be fun.
Bellevue West could have to go through Lincoln East, Burke or Millard North, probably Millard West, and then whoever comes out the other half of the Southeast or Millard South or maybe a West Side down there.
Or Grand Island.
Which proved us all wrong last year.
right. So that top half is, I think, one of the toughest. And the Bellevue West being the four seed, they're your number one team in the state, have been all year long. I think everyone's number one. And they're the four seed. It kind of stinks for Millard West. But at the end of the day, you have to –
You have to take them out at some time.
Yeah, someone's going to have to beat them anyway eventually, right?
That team probably is going to will not get silver medals. I think your state champion's going to come out of the top half of the bracket. Yeah. Now, that said, you look at the bottom half of the bracket where you think you've got a Southeast Millard South collision course going, and I would say that, and I've written about this, I think that if you look at the lines and how things have gone, I would say that Millard West, Millard South, Southeast, and Bellevue West, maybe in that order, have the four best lines, but Bellevue West has such explosiveness on offense that if they can keep their defense healthy, you still have to say it's Bellevue West. But who's going to come out of that other side? Again, I think Millard Southwest or Southwest winner is your probable, but you've got GI in there that could spoil the apple cart, and so could Westside.
Right, and you even look at it like Grand Island, Southwest. That was a close game. I think it was only a couple
decent
touchdowns.
So
you never know, like something quirky could happen there. But Grand Island proved they are worth a mention. They did it last year. They're not that far off of the talent. I mean, Cole Evans was really, really good. But now Carson Coy is one of the better quarterbacks in the state that I don't think anyone talks about.
When you got Brock Douglas, I think the difference now is Caleb Frankel is healthy again.
Right.
Grand Island was winning games without him. Now, that was during maybe the lesser portion of their schedule, which was fortunate. Mm-hmm. But they've got him healthy. He was a main reason why they beat Southwest as big as they did. You know, Millard South, you know, Isaiah Harris had a terrific game last week, five touchdowns. He took away from being six, school record rushing. Millard South played probably its best game in the in this era of T.J. Urban and Isaiah Harris. I mean, that was all I heard about Friday or Thursday night was how good that was. And you got Southeast that honestly should be undefeated. They had a field goal taken away from them because of an opponent's penalty that stopped the play. So technically, Southeast, you know, should be 9-0 on that line. But, you know, they haven't been to the finals in quite a while since they beat Burke back, I think it was 2011. None of these kids have gone that far. And I don't think they can even afford to overlook Omaha North, which was 24-7 the first time, where I was doing playoff points on Friday night last week. I ran into Larry Martin. You know, it's not the greatest matchup for North, but it's a game that if some things break for them, you know, North has a pretty solid line too. I don't think their backs are as good as they have been. It's going to come down to the defense, I think, of North and see if they can't really stop Nick Helene.
Which has been hard to do this year.
And they kind of rested Nick last week in their season finale. So he only got seven carries. I think he scored on, what, three of them or four of them? I mean, it was a decent number. Southeast is ready. They're ready to get back into the winner's circle.
There's, of the 16 teams, there's been talk, and you just look at the 16 teams, like, there's a way you could see pretty much everyone, every one of the 16 you look at, and you're like, okay, probably 12 of those teams, you can make a case for winning the state, for making it, right? Or is that a stretch?
I think that's a stretch. I think it's the four best lines. You know, now, if we were playing on grass and we had sloppy weather, I mean, that's the one thing that everybody's on turf now. And if we do get snowfall, they're going to clear it off. The only thing would be is if we got a snowy Friday night. You know, I think that Bellevue West has proven in the couple games that they've had, which would be Elkhorn South and Omaha North, and those are lines that are probably top 10 lines. I mean, Elkhorn South's got two Division I caliber linemen there, and Bellevue West kind of ate them up. They neutralized them, certainly. You know, I think it's a Millard West, Bellevue West, Millard South, Southeast. I think it's a chalk Final Four.
And that'd be fun, a fun Friday night.
And unfortunately, you can't see both games in all likelihood.
Can't have one at 4 and one at 8. Can we change it? Can we fix that?
You know, if we had UNO still available, and you know, if Millard was willing to give up its home game, which it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Now what I would like to see is, I mean, Iowa has the advantage of having the Uni Dome. And so they get to play all their semifinals in one spot. That's why I always envy Kevin White, our former colleague over on Western Iowa. He got to see all the semifinals and then all the finals in Iowa. What a great...
It'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome. We just don't have a dome here for the all-weather place that would justify moving all the semifinals to one spot.
Okay, let's move on to B. So there's some intrigue here, and health of quarterbacks
is
a question, specifically on the top team. So Scotts Bluff Alliance, that's, I mean, it would be...
It's chalk. Scotts Bluff's going to win that one. That was 51-14 just a couple weeks ago.
Surprise.
But Sebastian Harsh didn't play the second half against McCook, except he came out for the victory formation. You got to wonder how injured he is. That was a 21-13 game, by the way. And McCook was without Cam Berry for the second half.
Who I think is done for the I think that's what I've heard.
If that's true, then that's Hastings is going to have a walk to the next round, you would think.
And Scotts Bluff can win that game, I think, without Harsh.
Well, they probably can get to the – I say get to the semifinals without Harsh.
So the Scotts Bluff Alliance, and then the 8-9 matchup is pretty intriguing, Norris and Mount Michael.
It is. I've got Norris ahead of Mount Michael in the rankings. I have not seen Mount Michael live. I've seen Norris. They were tied with Waverly until Waverly mounted a long drive at the end of the game to win by a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I think Norris is of better caliber than Mount mm-hmm. Michael, and playing at home. If Mount Michael was at home, I might give the edge to the right. Knights. But down on the turf at Norris, right. I'd like Norris there. Right.
And you would think that environment would be pretty, you know, fired up. And then Roncalli, Plattsmouth. It's at Roncalli. It's grass. How wet is it going to be? Are we going to get any more weather? Those are sort of questions there, too.
I think that Roncalli, I like. Jack Dostler's had a wonderful season. Right. You know, you got Shane Orr. You got the tight end that's done very well. They've got some linemen. Plattsmouth has played people close.
They have.
And Connor Pohlmeier has been a consistent 100-yard rusher for them. If it's a dry night, and it looks like it should be, I think Roncalli wins that one. It's not going to be a blowout, right. but it's going to be a solid win for the Crimson Pride. And then you got Lexington and Grand Island Northwest.
Northwest just handled Hastings on Friday. I mean, handled Hastings on Friday night.
Last now, was week. That up front, or where did they have
the
advantage?
A little bit of both. Everything. I mean, it was a running clock in the third quarter. Up front was Grady Grice was dominant. He was in the backfield every single play, it felt like. And Rand Sanders, their
he's
quarterback.
He's a good athlete. Yeah, he's one of the better athletes in the state when you right. consider his baseball
right.
Ability. And hurt last year, came back, took over for Carter Terry.
Right.
You know, Northwest and Roncalli would be a very interesting,
intriguing matchup.
Right, yes. Out of Grand Island.
Right.
And two very good run-pass quarterbacks.
Right, right. And very, like you said, very good run-pass quarterbacks. Good quarterback matchup there. So, really, Scottsbluff, you have them. You look at them kind of moving on at least to the semifinal. Northwest and Scottsbluff, there's obviously history with Scottsbluff and Roncalli last year in the semis,
right.
Jack getting hurt, and they were up big, and Roncalli, you know, let Scottsbluff come back because Dulzer got hurt. And then Northwest is the team that played Scottsbluff the closest.
This year it was 18-13, and Northwest led, and Scottsbluff needed a score in the final 2 minutes to take that win. Mm-hmm. I still think the bottom half of the bracket's strong.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, very much so. So Waverly Gross. You know, McCook, Hastings.
Branch and Seward is an interesting game.
Branch and Seward could last 4 hours.
It could. With Myers back, Nicely's healthy, or Knisley is healthy for Seward. So they've got both offensive weapons there. I think Branch
like throw it a ton.
Branch and the Bond kid's going
right.
to throw it all night long. Yeah. He's got a stable receivers.
Right.
First
right.
time around, 35-26.
Yeah.
Bennington. That was kind of a game that got Bennington
rolling
after the losses to Scott and to Waverly to start the year. The only loss was to Roncalli on Thursday night, and that was basically a toss-up game going into the final minutes.
Tyler LeClaire is a really good junior athlete for Bennington.
Exactly.
And then so, Blair Scott is a rematch.
That was 35-13 the first time, and Hastings was 30-7 over McCook.
Right.
You know, I think the first round or the first time winners win again to go with Waverly. Actually, that's a rematch too. 43-21 Waverly over Gross during the season.
Right.
It makes it Waverly, Hastings, and let's say Bennington, Scott.
Yeah.
Those are two really fun semis. I think that Waverly and Scott are still the better teams.
Right.
But
and then the health of those two quarterbacks is something.
Tyson Gordon has missed some time on defense. Mm-hmm. They were playing him only on offense for a couple games. They're going to have him be a 32-minute player.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, 48-minute player for Scott. And Mason Neiman was banged up in that Scott game. He's got to be on the field quite a bit. And, you know, Waverly is very much a run-oriented team. That might be where their downfall is if they can't pass or can't pass well and they get
just
up against
the box and,
load the box, put 9 or 10 in there.
Yeah.
And that game also may come down to how the other games play out. Will that game be at Scott on turf or will it be on grass at Waverly?
Yeah.
And last year's semi was on a frozen field at Waverly and a better Scott team.
Right.
One there. Right. I don't think this Scott team
not
is
as good as last year.
Jared Epperson is the missing factor.
Yeah, for sure. He's he was
so
phenomenal.
Good.
Yeah. So Is there a team here, and I think I kind of have mine, and you might agree with me, that could upset the apple cart of, you know, we've all looked at these top four in B, have always been, you know, Scottsbluff, Waverly, Grand Island, Northwest. As the season has gone along, everyone's like, those are the four best. Clearly, they're on a different level. Is there a team that could shake that up?
Looking at...
Or a dark horse team, I guess.
I can't remember who my sleeper team was, but I think Norris could.
Yeah.
Because of the way it's matched up. Mm-hmm. You got Mount Michael in the first round. They get past that. Mm-hmm. They have to go out to Scottsbluff. Mm-hmm. But Scottsbluff really has... The GI Northwest game's probably their best test of the year.
For sure.
Yeah. And Norris being that close to Waverly during the regular season tells me they're capable of pulling off an upset. What's yours?
There's a scenario where I could see Roncalli making it all the way.
Oh, certainly.
They're the five seed, so it's not really.
I wasn't looking at the higher seeds. Yeah. But certainly Roncalli,
I think, could be the team. I mean,
just Roncalli get Scottsbluff in Omaha?
I think so, yeah.
Again, where that game's being played is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Also matters to our travel budget.
Right. So Roncalli for me would be the kind of dark horse.
I think it's up there in the upper bracket.
Right. And I, like you said, I think really it's Waverly Scud. It was a collision course again, and that's just kind of that. So, okay, let's move on to Class C1. Adams Central, tiebreaker. gets the tiebreaker with the number
one
seed.
Or with the number one team, Wahoo.
With the number one team, Wahoo, getting the second. But my question is, did Adams Central actually win the tiebreaker because they ended up with Pierce on their side? That's your number two team, right?
That's my number two team. I mean, I think we're going to get the top four in the rankings to the semis. But, yeah, Pierce saying they're at number two. They got chip on its shoulder from last year because they were upset at Newman, which then laid an egg out at Ord last year. Got shut out, which was a kind of a bittersweet way for Tim Turman's career to end with the Cavs. An interesting matchup early. I mean, take a look at Adam Central's path. Should it get past Valentine?
Aurora,
defending champion, start of the year, that was 24-8, Adam Central, and then Pierce, and then possibly Wahoo.
That's as
tough a road as what Bellevue West could face in Class A coming out of a bracket.
Right.
And Pierce probably has a little easier road game to the semifinal.
Chase County,
and then Gothenburg Ord, which was 17-14 Gothenburg in overtime last week. I think the X unknown factor up there is Ogallala.
Right.
Clayton Murphy.
How good is he? Yeah.
Can Ogallala's lines match up with Aurora? Certainly Aurora's aren't as good as last year.
Right.
But are they good enough? And how the field will be out there? Aurora plays on turf.
Right.
Ogallala plays on grass, and it's been snowing out there more than here.
Yeah.
So I've covered games in Ogallala. It's a fun place to play. Kind of a small-sized arena. I mean, it seats about 1,500 max. But Aurora's going to have to go out there and take care of business to see Adams Central again.
And Aurora, for me, and while we're here, I think they're getting better. They started, 0-3, whatever. They lost.
They had three very tough games to start
the year. Beginning of the year, and now they've rattled off some wins.
Confidence.
Ryan Marlett, their offensive lineman, their best one, is back and playing.
Quarterback has settled down.
Right. They could make a put. It wouldn't surprise me, I guess, if Aurora made it pretty
good. If Aurora beats Ogallala, they bring Adams Central to Aurora.
Right. So that could be – they're just – as a 9 seed, they're just awfully dangerous,
I think. Let's give some props to Adams Central, too.
I mean,
they've got Evan Johnson at quarterback, and they got Conant at running back, who are having record-type seasons.
Record-breaking careers.
And that's rare to do, to have a passer and a receiver – rusher in the same year at a school break all these records.
Right.
They got very good offensive balance.
Right.
Maybe more so than – anybody other than Ashland Greenwood.
Right. And that's – so Ashland Greenwood moving to the bottom of the bracket. You see Pierce probably.
I see Pierce. Yeah. I see Pierce basically having a walk
rolling
in the semis.
And then – so the bottom of the bracket in C1, Ashland Greenwood, Cozad, And then Wayne, Kearney Catholic, Columbus SCOTUS, Newman, Boys Town Wahoo. SCOTUS Newman came down to a 2-point conversion.
34-33.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so it was 1-point game.
And this will be played on turf up at SCOTUS.
Right.
Question there is Tyler Palmer ready to come back or not? If he's not there, I think Newman wins that ball game.
Right.
That was one of my toughest ones to pick, not knowing the status of
of
Tyler Palmer. But honestly, taking a look at the teams there, it'd be a shocker if Wahoo was not coming out of that half of the bracket and finally getting to the stadium.
Right. Ashland Greenwood is kind of like, I mean, yes, they're the third seed. They're still kind of the unknown, though. Their schedule wasn't fantastic.
It was soft.
Yeah, they still earned the three seed, but they're still kind of questionable on that. But they're you know, Kittrell's really good, and
you've got Cale Jacobson is really good. So, Hunter Washburn, quarterback.
They have players there, but like you said,
do they have enough to take on a Wahoo team that lost very little from last year, except probably their two top defensive players?
Right.
They've overcome that loss. You know,
Trevin Lubin is so good at running.
He's going to get you 7 yards of carry
there at least.
And their defense is as solid as ever. I just think Chad Fox's team is overdue to be in the stadium. And I think they, obviously, being able to avoid Adams Central, Aurora, and Pierce, they should be there on November 26th.
Right. And if they play SCOTUS or Newman, they already played. I mean,
well, now they played SCOTUS without Tyler Palmer.
Right, that's true. So
and Newman gave Wahoo its closest game.
I think
24-6 or 23-6. So
yeah.
It's not going to be easy games, but I just don't see Wahoo giving it away.
No. And Wayne Kearney Catholic is interesting. Wayne's two losses this season were to Pierce and Wahoo, but they were a combined 89-0 points.
Something like that.
Like
yeah.
Kearney
Catholic
matchup.
Is maybe a year ahead of schedule. You know, Rashad Harvey's done a nice job out there keeping a program going. He had Matt Masker out there.
Right.
Now the players, the names have changed. His philosophy you like to see coaches that can adapt to their players, to the people they have. And I think people like GI Northwest with Kevin Stein and Rashad Harvey at Kearney Catholic, they've adapted their offensive styles to the personnel they have on hand. And that's a tribute to their programs.
A lot. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Last one. Let's talk C2. Where's my bracket?
I got
right
C2
there.
Right,
let's
here.
Go right.
We'll look off the sheet, people.
Sutton, UTAN, Bergen, Battle Creek, BRLD, Wilbur, Claytonia on the top half. St. Pat's and North Bend Central. Sutton getting the one is maybe surprising for some people over Oakland Craig.
Well, again, it was a tiebreaker.
Right.
I think the team to watch in this bracket is BRLD.
Right.
North Bend may have the defense this year that it didn't have last year, and they've beaten some good teams.
Right.
The one loss is to Centennial, which is on the other side of the bracket. I've got BRLD picked, and it kind of depends on if Lucas Vogt gets
can
back.
Can play or is playing. Yeah,
is playing because Will Gatzmeier can't do it all for them.
Right.
He's tried, and they came within 10 of Oakland Craig last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the upper half of the bracket is more wide open, and it's going to be the team that puts three games together.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Sutton. Sutton's only loss was to Kearney Catholic in a step-up game. UTAN's got Caden Ager.
UTAN, 2 years ago, right?
They had three losses, but those were early.
Okay.
But
they went all the way from like a low seat. Weren't they 16,
I think 15? They took out Centennial in the first round.
And
went all the way with Colton Feast. On the bottom half of the bracket, Oakland Craig's the 2 seed. My number one, St. Paul's the 3 seed. You've got Aquinas down there. You got Centennial down there. I think the bottom half of the bracket is very tough.
Yeah.
Donovan Trumbull's got just one loss. Centura's on its way up. Shelby Rising City was 6-0. They've played three very good teams the past 3 weeks. And Centennial started 0-3. They're undefeated since then. And Harrington CC, Jacob Kaiser was hurt early in the season. He's healthy. I don't think it's going to be enough for them to overcome Oakland Craig. Good. Oakland Craig won that game 50-13 to start the early in the season. Yeah. And, you know, with Shelby and Aquinas just won 41-6 last week. I see that game being closer just because the rematches tend to do that. Right. But Aquinas, preseason number one, they've stumbled twice. Mm-hmm. But do they still have enough to come back and take out Shelby and then possibly St. Paul? And then a game with, you know, what I think is going to be Oakland Craig.
Yeah, the bottom half for me, like you said, is difficult, and you could see a path where Aquinas makes it all the way to Lincoln.
Oh, certainly,
because that's what they do.
I think that's my sleeper. Ron Mimic has gotten a lot of teams there, and this is in C2, just as we talked about UTAN a couple of years ago. The regular season doesn't always mean that much. If you've got a hot team going and you're healthier than the other team, this is the team or the class that probably has the least depth because of numbers. Things can change rapidly, and you get hot, you could have a final spurt.
That's why North Bend, I watched them a couple weeks ago. I just think they're really good. And them and Oakland Craig, I guess I've seen them live. North Bend is the 4 seed, so it's hard to say they're a sleeper, but they're the team that, not historically has done it, right?
Right.
So I think they could come out of the top. BRLD obviously is way good, but I think the vote injury and if he's playing or not is a huge thing. But they did play Oakland Craig a lot closer than I think anyone anticipated last week without votes. So,
especially coming off the overtime win over Bergen.
Right.
I think that quarterfinal maybe settles that half of the bracket.
Right. That's
if it's BRLD and
North
Bend. And maybe a sleeper up there's the number 8 seed in Battle Creek, which lost to Shelby Rising City by 4-7-3 in the opener. Right. Hasn't lost since.
They're on a roll, big time.
They're on a roll. Tradition up there. Hard to say. I still think I'd rather be in the upper bracket with the team than the bottom bracket.
Right. Especially with Aquinas sitting there as a 6 seed.
Exactly. And Centennial is a 10 seed.
Yeah. Defending champion Centennial is a 10.
And on a roll.
Yeah, and moving. So, all right, Stu, thank you very much. That'll do it for today's Prep Zone report. And we'll be back, I think, next week or dive a little deeper into the quarterfinals and semifinals. We want to thank MD West One, our sponsor. And thank you for listening. You can subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, Apple, iTunes, or you can just kind of watch the video too. Hit it!